are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
I never meant cares about
you. Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life,
running like a rare disease,
I'm running like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet
this
you all in the
Kemetic recorded.
Language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope everything is good with you, and I hope you're going to have a great day. More importantly, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, I know you will get it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and we love you and appreciate you for that, that perseverance, that stick-to-itiveness. Get it done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives, which is timeforanawakening.com. Look for a podcast. Click on podcasts, and the first one up is me, African Perspectives. Click on that, and there you will see programs that are dated and titled. And so we have an array of programs, previous programs, plenty of them. I haven't been on Time for an Awakening that long, but I've been on radio now for 5 years, yeah, since I moved here in Atlanta. Wow, time flies, right? African Perspectives, we're here once again every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Other program that we have on Time for an Awakening Media, immediately after this program, on Mondays and Wednesdays, it's the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. The Black People Matrix. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Brother Wahad, great programming, public affairs program out of Philadelphia. Deal with a lot of good subjects. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And after that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 9, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy. Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. Today is Friday. Today, if the day is Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time that is. That's right. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now, it's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Let me get these things out of the way so I can get to the Inye Sesem and then get to the topic of
Pan-Africanism or perish. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Go to WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. But if you don't want to go online and you are in the Atlanta area, you go to the Greenbrier Mall right off of Georgia Highway 166. And right there, and they have a kiosk right there in the Greenbrier Mall. You can get all the products that you need that are produced by us at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayembe, African for the Africans, is ready to take a group of our people at the end of this month, November 22nd through December 2nd. He's going to South Africa, going to Cape Town. He's going to Cape Town and Johannesburg. So I really. And then in December, further in December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he is going back to Ghana. If you want to see photos of previous tours, and the most recent was this past May, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. And the number to call. Give Brother Bomani a call. There might be some room for you to get on that trip to South Africa or to Ghana. It's 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. I've been trying to do this way, and now I'm going to do it. Announce Brother Renoko's trip in the same time after I announced Bomani's trip. And Brother Renoko, Dr. Renoko Rashidi, go to drrenoko.com. Go to Dr. N, just drrenoko.com and check out the trip he has. He's going to be going to three countries, Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, January 21st to February 4th, 2020. And for $3,856 in a shared room, three countries for $3,856, man. But if you want a room by yourself, just add another $680. Also, added to the trip in Senegal, you'll have an opportunity to visit the radiocarbonation laboratory established by the great scholar and historian, Dr. Sheikh Antis Diop. That's got to be exciting. So check out, go there, help Brother Renoko out, the work that he's doing. I give to him. I gladly give to that brother. I support him. I've known him for many years. I've been to his home in L.A. He's, you know, whenever he comes around, I've always taken him around, especially when he was in Milwaukee, you know, when I was in Milwaukee, rather, and he would visit Milwaukee, put it that way. So please support Brother Renoko Rashidi and the efforts that he is putting forth. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta, it has everything. The Shrine of the Black Madonna's got furniture, artwork, it's got figurines, it's got, well, most important thing, it's got books. That's right, if you're looking for a book and they don't have it, believe me, they'll get it. They also have an African Holocaust Museum right there in the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have the red, black, and green Nagash shoes. And they have Kwanzaa kits. And they have candles. Brothers, right now, you know you probably need some candles. You should go get them now before they start to run out and you can't get no Kwanzaa candles. Kwanzaa will be here next month. That's right, next month. So check that out at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They have a history program of Know Thyself. Every Saturday, free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Baba Olatunji, outstanding. Know Thyself, African History class. But if you can't make that, but you like that information, they also have a multimedia library that you can get. Brothers and sisters, it is now seven terabytes of African enlightenment. I got only 4.5, so I got to get my other 2.5 so I can be up there with 7 terabytes of African enlightenment at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall The number to call is 404-346-3263. Ironically, no, not ironically, just conveniently, it's right by WeBuyBlack.com. Kiosk right by WeBuyBlack is the Medu Bookstore, 404-346-3263. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brother Gazimde Ajamu is the proprietor. Give him a call. He has books. If he doesn't have the book that you're looking for, believe me, he'll get it. He also has the Nagash shoes and other apparel. Good vibe, good place. Come on in, sit down, discuss stuff. It's beautiful. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us Lifting Us, Thursday night broadcast. I listened last night talking about sovereignty and so forth. I love it. Good discussion with Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people. Every Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. The Us Lifting Us. Ulu. Okay. Akabin Institute. That's right. Baba Baruti. You know, he got the Kibuka coming up. That's right. Kibuka, which of course is looking at the Ma'afa through the eyes of our ancestors, looking at this great tragedy, the Infakani, the Ma'afa, the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. November 16th from 5 to 9 at the Sweet Spot here in Atlanta in the Metropolitan Parkway. Kibuka. Their institute, Akabin Institute, needs help always. It's always great that you can support what Baba and Ya Baruti are doing to help our young people to develop warriors. We need develop strong men and women. I'm talking about fearless. Akabin Institute. Make check or money order out to Akabin Institute. P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, go $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your contributions. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby sent me some more pictures of beautiful children and things that they're doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And it's very important to do so. Brother Sister Gabby has sent me that information. And go online to check out what she's doing. Go to Sanjay-Haiti, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Black Talk Radio Project, my good brother, Brother Scotty Reed and the Black Talk Radio Project. Of course, Black Talk Radio Network is what Time for an Awakening is on and what African Perspective is on the Black Talk Radio Network. So the Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Media Fund, go to Black Talk Radio Network. You don't even have to go anywhere else. Once you hit blacktalkradionetwork.com, scroll down a little bit on the right side, and there you can make your donations. There you can make your donations. I'm going to also announce Sister Professor Dr. Bayina Bello from Haiti. She is in town this week. She's having book signings, a couple of them on Saturday and Sunday. I'll make those announcements after the break. Okay, and now we're going to deal with the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Since I didn't broadcast the other day, Wednesday, because of technical difficulties, the server was down, so I couldn't broadcast. So that's just how that goes, you know? So, October 29th. Once you make up your mind to cross a river by walking through, you do not complain of getting your stomach wet. Iwu proverb. There are so many forces working against us being African that it can become so easy and even relieving for those not truly dedicated to being themselves to impatiently complain about what they consider to be undue hardships and slip into a less demanding psychology. Difficulty has never been an issue for those of us who know that to be anything other than our African selves is insanity. And insanity is to be avoided by any and every means necessary. In fact, we are on a life quest of struggle because we know that only in this way will the path to our most ancient, uncompromised selves become clear. Affirm, I struggle toward the knowledge and the way of truth without complaint. Affirm, I struggle toward the knowledge, the way of truth without complaint. October 30th. The more invasion is accentuated and those invaded, the more invasions is accentuated and those invaded are alienated from the spirit of their own culture and from themselves, the more the latter want to be like the invaders, to walk like them, dress like them, talk like them. Pablo Freire. Intellectualizers are those who talk with the well-read skills of an academician, but who do so only for self-aggrandizement and argumentation. Intellectualizers act as if the words are not guided by the policies of those who pay for play and who play them, especially when their words serve as entertainment for those benefactors. One of their most important defining characteristics is that they do not act on what they argue, or they believe that their ramblings or their debates they engage in actually are liberation battles. Negro intellectualizers have well studied the internalized Eurasian. They have mastered the Eurasian or the Eurocentric interpretations of reality. And they spend an enormous amount of time and energy trying to convince people of Eurasian's correctness using as many theories, assumptions, and convoluted logic as possible. It is neither a thinking or political presentation because their words are not designed to transform our people into more critical thinkers. If this were to happen, intellectualizers would no longer have a place. Therefore, their words are meant only to impress others with the wealth of their European intellect. The politics of their words follow the dictates of the powers that be, even when they appear to be fighting them, because their survival is dependent on the arms of their power. Affirm, I am no intellectualizer. Affirm, I am no intellectualizer. October 35th. October 31st. A civilization that provides in a civilization. Okay, we'll try this again. A civilization that provides and proves incapable of solving the problems it creates is a decadent civilization. A civilization that chooses to close its eyes is most critical problem is a sickened civilization. A civilization that uses its principles of trickery and deceit is a dying civilization. African proverb. In words to grasp the true meaning of this statement for revolutionaries, we have to know just what is meant by the term civilization. As African conscious of the importance of definitions for perceptions, we must employ the knowledge of our children's treatment in our definition of civilization. The state of civilization should not be measured by the amount or level of mechanical technology a society produces or accumulates. It has been said that whether a society is a civilization or not must be judged by the quality of life of its women. This should be changed to its children. We say children because they are the most defenseless of all and dependent on adults for their well-being. The quality of their lives speaks to the character of the society developed by their parents. Therefore, using this definition, if significant numbers of a society's children are starving, homeless, miseducated, sexually violated, drugged or otherwise intoxicated, obese, suicidal, incarcerated, or on death row, then this is not a true civilization. Obviously, people in love with the West who believe it is civilized are using the wrong indicators for measuring civilization. Ashe. Affirm, I have not misdefined this reality. Affirm, I have not misdefined this reality. November 1st. The problem with the man is that he always gets half the story and then bungles it. That dates all the way back to the Greeks. Tony Cade Bombera. Europeans are the world's greatest imitators, as evident throughout history. Once they feel they have destroyed a people and cannot be stopped from debasing them and taking from them whatever they want and claiming it as theirs, they usurp their victims' external characteristics, at least those which do not interfere with their acelic imperative. In doing so, in their twisted fantasies, they believe they become, or rather, possess those they imitate. However, because they are not who they are, arrogant children without even basic experience or the fundamental spiritual emotional development and content of those they seek to ingest and assimilate, they fail to realize that they only become who they mimic at a very, very superficial level. Their very heart and soul is missing from their theft. A perfect example of this is found among those whom they imitate, the drumming, dancing, and attire and hairstyles, and especially the spiritual system rituals of traditional Africans. Inwardly, Europeans can be nothing more, nothing other than what they are. For that matter, no one can become what they are not, no matter how convincing the imitation. Let me repeat that last. Inwardly, Europeans can be nothing more than what they are. And for that matter, no one can become what they are not, no matter how convincing the imitation. Affirm, I am what I am to the core. Affirm, I am what I am to the core. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I've been reading this particular piece, and I'm going to continue to do so because I think it's important that we listen to our elders and our ancestors because they have so much to give. Kwame Nkrumah, he said this at the freedom speech in 1961. He said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor want at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Kwame Nkrumah, 1961. Some years later, he said, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Prophetic, isn't it? Yes, it is. Mama Marimba. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought, and behavior in order to understand the effects the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thought from European thought so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we are African and because the future toward which Europe leads us is genocide. Is genocide. We have a sister on the line, and she is one of the coordinators for the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Sister Nabantu, Mama Nabantu, are you with us?
I am.
How are you today?
I'm good. I thought I was hiding behind the scenes.
No, no. I'm going to read a number of things, and if you want to hang on and you can comment, one of the things I'm going to read is what you sent out in terms of the two drafts you sent out, the manifesto and, of course, the plan of action. I'm going to read prior to what you sent out, and that is the questions that you should ask yourself, you know, mm-hmm. for the need to develop a Pan-African Federalist movement that is global, that is so necessary. And it is very vital that to move on this at this time, considering the devastation that is happening on the continent by those outside of the continent and those who are on the continent who are supposed to be leaders or misleadership of our people on the continent. So this is a call that was put out in Sister Nabantu, Mama Nabantu, is one of the coordinators here in this region, and we are in the process of planning a Pan-African, North American convention here in Atlanta next year, October 2020, and she'll talk more about that and how you can become involved, and we need all hands. But actually, if we get what we get, we got to work with that. You know what I'm saying? That's for sure. Do you believe that political unification of the African states is a matter of utmost urgency for Africans on the continent and in the diaspora? Do you agree with Kwame Nkrumah when he stated that it is clear that we must find an African solution to our problems, and this can only be found in African unity? Divided, we are weak. United, Africa could become one of the greatest forces for good in the world. Do you think that Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop was right when he said, African unity, I feel, will come from the base and develop as an undercurrent of the present political sterility and economic stagnation rampant on the continent today? And that is true. And Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop has been deceased since the 70s. Since the early 70s. A feeling of general insecurity generated by an inept of African regimes in dealing with the most critical issues will result in masses entering the picture sooner or later. As generalized insecurity spreads, no African regime will be able to prevent the masses from seeing that the inept of their own government is linked to their general insecurity. At that point, I feel the masses will find within their own ranks the type of political vanguards made up of young, altruistic, and politically motivated Africans to unleash a powerful continent-wide movement. This political undercurrent would eventually be forced to sweep away the objective obstacle standing in the way of a continental African federation. Do you agree with El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X, at the second African Union Summit in 1964, when he said, Africa's problems are our problems, and our problems are Africa's problems? Are you sick and tired of watching Africans being helpless when faced with natural or even man-made calamities? Do you believe that being an African ought to be an asset and not a liability? Do you believe in the need for a strong African state that can protect the interests of African people wherever they are on the planet, that may reside and demand for and expect to get the reparations of the wrongs that were done to Africans through captivity and colonialism? I believe that most of us would believe that. I believe that many of us understand that. What do you say, Sister Mama Nubuntu?
I totally agree.
Yeah, I agree myself. I totally agree. And we need to develop the mechanism for these things to become a reality, especially at this critical time of our existence.
Absolutely.
You know, there is only one place, I believe, Mama Nubuntu, there's only one place that we could legitimately argue of returning or establishing anything on any land, and that is on the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. Us arguing about America, and I know there are some of us, and you know, I understand that they feel we've been brought here. Some of us have been changed. We're new people. We're a different people because of what Europeans have done to us, and so we have just as much right to this stolen land has the people who stole it, you know, and so therefore, you know, no, they don't think about going back. They want their fair share. They want the society to live up to all the things that it writes in its constitutions and any other piece of damn paper that they feel is legit, because the Europeans say it's legit that they're supposed to have. And I maintain that you are a fool, because the bottom line is that this was created for Europeans by Europeans. And everybody else in it is there to serve their interests. This is shaped and fashioned in their interests and in their image. And there is nothing that we can do or say otherwise. But I know that our people continue to try, because we believe that somehow, some way, that our suffering can cause Europeans to have a epiphany and say, well, you know, I'm so sorry for what we have done. Come on in. Let me share what we have here in America with you. No, it hasn't happened. It's not happening now. And damn it, it ain't going to happen. The only solution for us is Pan-Africanism. It's the quote should be Pan-Africanism or perish. You know, you remember when they had, I think it was when Barack ran, they had that slogan, vote or die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say we should have that slogan, unify or die.
Mm-hmm.
We should have, that should be on hats and T-shirts. I mean, I know, you know, I got that hat said.
Make Africa
home again. That's right. That's right. Because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we must do. We must make Africa home again, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's our only alternative.
It is. It's our only
option.
That's right. It's the only one. Everything else should not even be discussed. And the only discussion should take place and happen within African people. Everybody else should be outside of that discussion. There should be no Caucasians, no Asians, nobody in the discussion. And once we finalize what our discussions are going to be and who's doing what, when, and where, we tell the world, this is the bottom line, we're going home. Everybody get out. We want at least a few years, maybe a decade or more, to get our home and our act in order. We're going to educate ourselves. We're going to do the building. We don't need no damn Chinese to build roads, buildings in Africa. We don't want no Arabs in Africa who constantly denigrate and demean. I mean, even today on the continent of Africa, in the northern part of Africa, You know, they've been doing blackface and derogatory and demeaning and degrading things to Africans, but still today they're castrating brothers and sisters, castrating brothers, selling them into slavery. I mean, you know, what happens to us, it has to be a stop. Everywhere on the damn planet, we are demeaned and degraded. Even though China is all up in Africa, the Africans that are in China are treated harshly. The Africans that are in the diaspora, wherever they are treated with disrespect. But yet Africa, where it is, it has more resources than any other continent on the planet. Any other area on the planet, still to this day, even after hundreds of years of being raped, of being exploited, for not just the colonization of its people and its resources, but through other means. And yet still today, it has more of those resources than anywhere else on the planet. In fact, if it were not for Africa, you know, many countries would be, France said, well, if it wasn't for Africa, and I hate France. Actually, it's hard to say, Sister Mama Nabantu, who I hate most, France or England. I think I'll take England, because at least France, you know, sometimes will tell you what it is. England makes itself out to be some great nation that was benevolent and great. Well, England has more of Africa's resources than any other country outside of Africa. The colonization of Africa by the British is, most vicious. The gold, I'm watching this, I'm about to read this thing about how European and American governments steal from Africa and destabilize African economies. And you see this Caucasian sitting, counting and looking at all the gold bullion. And then you see the brothers who are mining it, who are mining the gold in Africa, in Southern Africa, in Central Africa, in West Africa, because there's gold all around Africa. In fact, in West Africa, Ghana used to be called what? The Gold Coast. The Ashanti King is draped in gold. All of the resources. That's why I end the program the way I do. Africa has all of the resources that everybody's, Dr. John Henry Clark quote, Africa has had all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. And it's got to stop. We must take, say, at this particular time, if it's 2020 or if it's 2021, I think at 2021 with the international convention, right there at that moment, if there is an African leader that does not support that, that person should be out. There should be nothing else on the continent but a strong emphasis on Pan-Africanism. Whatever contracts that you have with all these other outside entities, put them on hold so we can come in and do our business to build up Africa. It is the only situation for us. It is the only viable alternative for the survival of African people. Everywhere else is eventually death. Look at this country. Look how this country, look at our situation here. I read that piece by Baba Baruti and the Inye Sesim, and he talks about how you should now view a civilization is how the children are treated. Look at this country. Look how we and our children are treated. There are more of our children being missing, organ harvesting, death, drugs, you name it. And of course, a lot of times, we feel that at times there's nothing that we can do. Oh, woe is us. No, damn it, there is. Quit begging Caucasians. Get off your knees. Stand up.
Look your brother and your sister in the eye. Let's do this. Let's come together. Unify or die. It's an African imperative. It's a must. That's like they say about Europeans, you know, they're hung up on individualism. Individualism is a European or Caucasian desire, but Africans is an imperative that we come together. Collectivism. Coming together is an African imperative, is a must. And that's what we must do. That is who we are historically. And we must return. So we're going to, I see we have a call, 646-646. Good morning.
Hey, Oshi, you decided to come back today, huh?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, Wednesday, the server was down. Brother Scotty Reed and Black Talk Radio Network was down for a minute. Then it got it back on. Yeah, that's what happened. You know.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was ready to go too, Jay.
I hear you, brother. How have you been, man?
I've been doing fine. What about you?
Oh, man, just a little knee pain. If it wasn't would be good.
Right, you were telling me about that knee pain, man. You need to check out. You probably need to talk.
Hey, bro,
yeah.
It's no joke.
Oh, no. I know. I had knee replaced, man. Both my knees replaced.
Oh, okay. Well, it's no joke, man. I mean, when you get knee pain, and the bad thing is, when it's one leg, it's worse than having it in two,
yeah.
Because you compensate, and once
that's
you
right.
start compensating,
that's
then
right.
the other knee starts.
That's right.
It's miserable, B. That's all I can say.
Well, let me say this: you probably need to check with an orthopedic doctor about the stem cell replacement therapy. That may be something that you can possibly, without having knee replacement, without having them open your knee up and then like they did me and put a mechanical, you know, plastic sleeve and metal ball, you know.
Right.
But
you know what helps, to be honest, with me is if I lay still and I use my massager for a couple of hours.
Okay.
If I put the massager on it for like 2 or 3 hours, I'm all right for a day or two.
Okay.
But I notice you got to be real consistent.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you don't have time to be real consistent with it.
No, you got things to do. But I mean, to me, but see, Jay, if you need to walk around, you need to get around, you must, you know, set aside those times to do that. Also, too, make sure you ice up every night. Ice up, ice, baby. You know, elevate, just, you know, lay those knee, those ice packs on your knees and chill out, you know. And I don't know if you do
can
take
it. Can I comment
anything.
On it?
Sure, Sister Nabantu. I'm a Nabantu.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, because I've had some knee issues as well. And I don't know if the brother has talked to any naturopath doctor, but magnesium is lacking a lot of times when we have these problems with our knees. And so I started soaking more with Epsom salt and also... there's an ointment that I got from Germany that I've used before that actually works and helps. And I know several people have had knee surgeries in addition to Brother Oshi. And you can't get your own knee back.
No, that's for sure.
It's really causes even more problems. And sometimes if you don't get the right doctor, they don't do it right. You got to redo it, and they keep opening it up until, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You can't even walk anymore. So I would suggest at least check
What is the name of the product from Germany?
If you send me your, if I can get your email or your phone number, I can text a picture of it to you.
I'll give it to you, Sister Mama Nabantu. I'll give you Brother Jay from New York. I have his information.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Please do, OC, because I tell you, man, the knee is in it. You know, people talk about the back. The back is important, but the knee is no joke. You know what I mean? I've been immobile for 2 days, so I was able to get around early today. And now I know I got to put the massage in, you know, like you said,
mm-hmm.
I sit down. And, man, sometimes you don't feel like doing that because you got a whole bunch of running around to do. But luckily, you know, I was able to do it. I had to do.
And one other thing, when you ice, it's 15-minute ice, and then 15 minutes nothing, then 15 minutes ice. So you just don't ice it the whole time. 15 minutes ice, 15 minutes off, 15 minutes ice, 15 minutes, 15 minutes off. It really has helped me.
Okay. Hey, Ochi, what I was calling you really about was what were you discussing? Because I had just clicked in.
I'm discussing Pan-Africanism. Mama Nabantu is the Southeast Regional Coordinator for the Pan-African Federalist Movement. We're preparing for a North American convention of Pan-African here in Atlanta.
Where's that going to be at?
Here in Atlanta, next October. Okay. 1 year from now, next October.
Okay.
Here in Atlanta. And then we're preparing across the country, across the world, to converge on Africa in 2021.
And let me ask you this question then.
Uh-huh.
What do you see as this whole movement with, you know, the COBRA and the ADOS people in regards to this whole reparations and their position on Pan-Africanism? And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, people who believe in Pan-Africanism should always be in the lead of anything, because I'm not following nobody else that don't have an African ideology. I'm just sick of all of the nonsense, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, my concern is, what could we do to broaden our, how could I say it, our position here in America and abroad in pushing more Pan-African ideas like Dr. Clark and them were trying to do back in the day with organizations like, I think they're still in existence, ASCAP, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
What could we do in regards to that, my sister?
You want to deal with that, Mama Nabantu, or?
Well, I think, you know, I'm a lifetime member with COBRA. I think that most of them are Pan-Africans, but they're not quite into the Pan-African Federalist Movement that we're in right now. And I forget, you talked about another group. Oh,
ASCAP.
They have no respect for the elders. They have no respect for our history, in my opinion. I think they need to read more, study more, because they're about getting the money. They're not really talking about restoring the health, the negative impact that has been brought upon us as a people, from economics to health to housing. And we can go on and on, because we're on the bottom of every single one of them. And it's not about getting a check, you know. So the Pan-African Federalist Movement is very clear that we have to have a United States of Africa, and that's where we get our power over again. And, you know, as you may know, there's a new scramble for Africa. We have French African summits. We have Asian African summits, and United States African summits, Germany African summits going on. It's all about trying to see the scramble again to take different parts of Africa in a bigger way. And, you know, there's so many issues, but, you know, as a unit coming together, we can solve our own problems. We don't need to be dependent on any foreign entities at all. And one more thing I want to point out, because I can't stay on too much longer, this issue with Bill Gates bringing the GMO into African countries in a slick way. You know, he's coming in as a philanthropist and acting like he's trying to help the people. But underlying all that, you know, he's giving out this GMO. Some kind of I don't know if it's a supplement, or I don't know what it is.
He's giving out vaccines. He's doing a lot of stuff that are going to kill African people. All in the efforts for depopulation. They want to depopulate Africa.
Right.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, you know that's what purpose devils like him serve. I mean, it's just like I was saying to Brother Ralph a few minutes ago. Joe Biden's no friend of African people. If you study his history, he's an enemy. The only reason that, you know, we sometimes get confused is because of this Obama character. Obama done did more harm to African people than one will admit or ever imagine. It's just like the sister was saying about dealing with Africa. Everybody else is coming over to try and solve Africa's problem when we as African people have the skills and the education and everything necessary to solve our own damn problems.
Let me say one thing. They're not coming there to solve our problems.
They're coming there to solve problems.
Yeah.
They're coming there to take over the land. They're coming over there to colonize us again. There's no friends between Russia, Chinese, and America when it comes to African people. Everybody wants to use Africa as their get up. You know what I mean? But we have to figure out what we're going to do as African people to put an end to this BS. And this is, like you said, them ADOSs can be disrespectful at times. You know what I mean? Some of the Nkoba elders could be hard-headed at times. We got to really seriously figure this thing out within the next 25 to 50 years, or we are going to be wiped off the planet. Because this thing ain't getting no better. This thing is getting worse. There's nothing that we're seeing right now that is leading us to really, really think or understand the direction that we need to be going in. We're missing out on something. We're not listening to the elders. The wise elders are not coming together amongst themselves to put forward a blueprint to do what we have to do. The young ones are caught up in this madness. I mean, we just got to close the door and deal with things amongst ourselves and straighten this out, or we're going to be in for some serious, serious trouble, man.
Well, we are, and you're right.
But look, Oshie, I'm going to call you back.
Okay.
I'm going to call you back because I got to make a quick call.
All right, Jay. All right, peace to you, brother.
Thank you for my information.
I sure will. I'll get that information for you and for Brother Ralph as well. Sister Nabantu, I appreciate you. Mama Nabantu, I appreciate you being on. I know you said you have to run. I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I'll get off into some other things as it relates to Pan-Africanism and how the West, United States, and Europe constantly are taking Africa's resources and so forth. And the only solution for Africans' problem is unity. Pan-Africanism. It's Pan-Africanism or perish.
Absolutely.
That's it. All right, my sister.
All right.
Peace to y'all. See you this weekend. Peace.
All right. You too now. Peace.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. We appreciate you being with us. We're going to talk more about Pan-Africanism. It is the only solution, whether you understand it or not. I'm going to give part of a TED Talk with Sister Malentz. You probably heard it, but you'll hear it again. And we'll get off into that. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
The juice we believe in. If the crook was a cook, we never look, we just eat it. Got us like paraplegic, frozen stiff and depleted, body bagged by the waist, our history re-repeated. Kill they own like the Kennedys, we all public enemies, the program satanic, tapping into our energies, they will super soaker, call themselves black and noble, their position is global, so our transition is vocal. It all start with the churches, killer bees be the workers, missionaries, they carry the wickedness to usurpers. They all hate us and bait us, their name is educators, religions intimidate us, so we worship and invade us. They agree to embed it, bloodline is pathetic, loyalty to the royalty, second cousin to wedding, guillotine to behead them, yes the queen has said it, Elohim's the legend, the way your sisters and brethren. How do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back. Awaken, can't you feel the earth shaking? We arousing 1,144 acres. No, we ain't paper chasers, more like movers and shakers, bringing the sentence with vengeance to Mother Earth on the cake. From niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers, when they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the samplers, unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas, your televisions and cameras, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming and bumming. They recognizing your third eye is your second coming.
I know you like that.
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back.
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back.
Look for Houdini, I study Kundalini, raising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie. So if your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen. 144,000 around the spell has been broken.
Shout bless. Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present day system?
I am.
Wait a minute, Shabless. We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new God. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you.
So power be in my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise, the wise of the needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie.
I know you like that.
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back.
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
So power be in my people and power strike back.
Man, we lost in confusion, believe in illusion, so no revolution could take place till you erase the false face that you embrace, carrying loads of dead weight we displace. All over this earth curse with hate, still bowing down to masters who burn and castrate. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, but intertwined, can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox, the soul seeker, astro signs, we leave the clock on the age. Jump for worry,
number one
shifts and rise.
So you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back.
Yeah, yeah.
You like that?
Brothers and sisters,
like that. Ready to
it
fight
is definitely
back.
The time
fight back.
People recognize
like
what
that.
Stage
don't
we're
don't
in
like that.
We are definitely in the last day.
Yeah.
They're plotting against us. They're trying to take us down. But you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have another plan. I'm calling on the ancestors. The ancestors. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's black science.
Now do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back.
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back.
Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with Brother Franklin Jones on Monday and Wednesday. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9.
On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday at 11 a.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Every Friday, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness on Blog Talk Radio, my good friend and brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. From 4 to 6 today, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And the number to call is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. Yeah, I tell you, we have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. I want to consider this program that I do has a program that is serious about Pan-Africanism, a program that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, that when you tune in, you'll hear us talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because as far as we're concerned, it is the only subject. Everything else is moot. We're talking about how Europe and America is keeping Africa in its present state. I think the brothers and sisters who have not succumbed so deeply into the European, the Urugu's cultural sealy, and who still have a heart and a mind for Africa, even though they went through the halls of the academy and acquired a lot of skills and so forth, and number of degrees and so forth. But now they understand that we need to utilize that knowledge and that information. That if it can be utilized, because not everything that you get from the European can be utilized for African people, but those things that can be will be utilized to benefit Africa and African people. We must go home. We must help African people on the continent prepare the continent for the sustainable future of African people. It is the only place on the continent that African people can say, yes, this is ours. But we must prepare to secure it for ourselves. It's ours. It is ours. This is a TED Talk. Coming up on a TED Talk with Sister Malentz. And I never forget when I heard it some years ago. She's so beautiful. She's so smooth. She says it so, you know, eloquently. And I could see, because it, you know, the TED Talks are televised. Yeah, you go on YouTube. Go on YouTube, TED Talk, and you put in Malentz, M-A-L-L-E-N-C-E, Malentz Burt Williams from Sierra Leone.
Good afternoon. I am Malentz, and I come from the richest country in the world. It is located in the richest continent in the world, in the west of the richest continent. Country is called Sierra Leone. On the surface, we are blessed with infinite beauty and abundance of flora and fauna, producing the most exquisite harvest of coffee, cocoa, fruits, vegetables, and caoutchouc. You name it, we've got it. We also have diverse wildlife and vast marine resources. And waterfalls and rivers. On a deeper level, We are blessed with the real treasures the kings and queens of this world desire. This was the largest alluvial diamond ever found. It weighs almost 1,000 carats, 969 to be precise. This beauty was found by an old lady in her backyard about 2 years ago, 125 carats. Some people mine gold in their backyards. That's quite common. Besides gold and diamonds, we have about 20 precious minerals that have been discovered as of today. We recently started extracting huge petroleum reserves that have been discovered. We have platinum, ilmenite to make titanium, rutile to coat jets, iron ore, the largest iron ore deposits in Africa, the third largest in the world. Tantalite, also known as coltan, used in your mobile phones and computers, bauxite for aluminium production, zinc, chrome ore, copper, coal, phosphates, potassium, salt, lead, granite, asbestos, nickel, zircon. Furthermore, we have exquisite timber like mahogany, antique, and we have the most beautiful stems in the world. Of course, the West needs Africa's resources most desperately to power airplanes, cell phones, computers, and engines. And the gold and diamonds, of course, a status symbol to determine their powers by their core and to give value to their currencies. One thing that keeps me puzzled, despite having studied finance and economics at the world's best universities, the following question remains unanswered. Why is it that 5,000 units of our currency is worth one unit of your currency, where we are the ones with the actual gold reserves? It's quite evident that the aid is in fact not coming from the West to Africa, but from Africa to the Western world. The Western world depends on Africa in every possible way, since alternative resources are scarce out here. So how does the West ensure that the free aid keeps coming? By systematically destabilizing the wealthiest African nations and their systems, and all that backed by huge PR campaigns, leaving the entire world under the impression that Africa is poor and dying and merely surviving on the mercy of the West. Well done, Oxfam, UNICEF, Red Cross, Life Aid, and all the other organizations that continuously run multi-million dollar advertisement campaigns depicting charity porn to sustain that image of Africa globally. Ad campaigns paid for by innocent people under the impression to help with their donations. While one hand gives under the flashing lights of cameras, the other takes in the shadows. We all know the dollar is worthless, while the euro is merely charged with German intellect and technology, and maybe some Italian pasta. How can one expect donations from nations that have so little? It is super sweet of you to come with your colored paper in exchange for our golden diamonds. But instead, you should come empty-handed, filled with integrity and honor. We want to share with you our wealth and invite you to share with us. The perception is that a healthy and striving Africa would not disperse its resources as freely and cheaply, which is logical. Of course, it would instead sell its resources at world market prices, which in turn would destabilize and weaken Western economies established on the post-colonial.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That was Sister Malentz of Sierra Leone talking about the wealth
of Africa, not just Sierra Leone. She focused on Sierra Leone and what it offers, but look at the continent itself. We sit, as the Dr. Clark said, on all of the world's resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and don't want to pay for. When I was in Ghana, and I was at One Africa, Sister Amakus, One Africa. One Africa sits in between Cape Coast Dungeon and Elmina Dungeon, right there on the ocean. And when Baba was still living, Baba Kofu, we were looking out on the horizon. It was night, and there were lights. And I asked him, what was it? He said, it was a fishing vessel. Was it Ghanaian? He says, no, it's Japanese. The Japanese have a deal with Ghana to fish, because they Japanese have fished. They don't have any fish in their island waters. They've, you know, with the population that Japan has and of course, the need for it, they fished. And so they look for other areas of the world. And so they came to Ghana and cut a deal with the Ghanaians to gather up all this fish, and everything is done on that vessel. They gather the fish, they clean it, they fillet it, they package it, they freeze it, they all those things, selling back to Ghana. But more importantly for Japanese, they send that fish back to Japan. Everybody. There are some places where they have no resources. Europe has no resources, but Europe has a country, excuse me, Europe and its various countries. It's not a continent. It's not a continent by anybody's damn definition. But it's a continent because Europeans say so, Caucasians say so, because that's how arrogant they are. They say it's a continent. It's not a damn continent. And what divides Europe from Asia is the mountain range, the Caucasus Mountains. So they utilize the Caucasus Mountains. So west of the Caucasus Mountains is the so-called continent of Europe. Yeah, that's how arrogant these people are. But they have no resources. So when I'm looking at this Caucasian sitting in an area where there's just, I mean, so many gold bullions, then I'm seeing the brothers and all of the dirt and mud and mining for gold on the continent, because there's gold throughout the continent. The interesting thing, brothers and sisters, the resources are still, they're not, yes, they have been depleted, but they're not gone. They're still there. There's still more there than anywhere else in the world. And God darn it, damn it, let's make a move to go control those resources. Let us, as African people, control the resources on the African continent. Isn't that logical? Isn't that happening everywhere else in the world? Anywhere else in the world, are we having more favor when we are in Europe or in America or in Central America, South America? No. We're always relegated to the low end of whatever. The only way, and I don't give a damn if nobody respects us, as long as we respect ourselves, as long as we are understanding enough to do for ourselves, embrace one another. I know all the impediments that prevent this. Probably the number one thing is the theology, let alone all the other ignorance that is in our minds. How European and American governments steal from Africa and destabilize African economies. The economy of the world and the way money is valued is one of the biggest scams of the universe. Money and wealth are naturally backed by mineral resources, land, and basically physical commodities such as precious metals. But in Africa, it is not so. The money that is backed up, the European money, I'm including America's, the biggest money is the petrodollar, which is American, the American dollar, and the euro. Of course, now they say the euro has, at least it's been said already many years, the euro has more value than the American dollar. But all of it is not backed up by resources. It's backed up by the word of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And what backs them up is the military might, particularly the military might of the United States, the world policeman, which has military bases damn near on every part and every continent on this planet. And if we were to go by the above, which is a clear for all to agree with, then it is safe to say that African currencies are supposed to be most valued in the world, given that Africa has more of the valuable resources of this world than any other place. But the reverse is the case. We have multinational companies of European and American origin who have been mining Africa's gold and diamonds for centuries and have used the gold to enrich their economies. But more disturbing is the devilish manipulations of monetary organizations such as the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and the World Bank, who contrive with European nations to frustrate the economies of African nations and to keep their currencies in low value. I'm saying it has to stop. I'm saying it's got to be all over. That's why I have such a disdain for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, United States, Britain, France. They killed Muammar Gaddafi because Muammar Gaddafi was going to introduce a gold dinar, a gold currency, that you would have to buy resources from Africa with this currency. They didn't kill Muammar Gaddafi because Muammar Gaddafi was such an evil dictator and the people of Libya were in the streets. That was bull. Go find somebody to give you the real history of what Muammar Gaddafi was doing in Libya. Libya is a damn mess today because of what the West has done. Libya was the best organized, run country damn near on the continent of Africa, unfortunately. Because there should be others like that, but it was. The people of Libya, the Libyan people, not just Caucasian-looking Libyans, but African-looking Libyans as well. They were considered just Libyan people. They all benefited from the oil reserves of Libya and the gold reserves of Libya. And when he was making this move, because remember, he was at the time the chairperson of the African Union. He truly wanted to bring into existence what we're talking about. The continent of Africa controlling its land, its resources, its people, and doing for themselves. And if somebody wanted something from Africa, you would pay whatever the going rate would be. Africa was going to be a world player instead of the pawn that it is. That's why they killed Muammar Gaddafi. That's why some of you fool Negroes here who believe the propaganda and believe the bull that was said about him. And you were worried about your little damn change because obviously it was going to cause some economic disruption. But I don't give a damn. I'm more concerned about what is the future for African people. Not the future of us here in this madness, there is no future for us in this insanity. There's only a future for African people on the continent controlled by African people. Hey, Jay, you back with me?
Yeah, man, I was able to finish what I had to do. Good, brother. I see you talking about we got to control everything on the continent. I can't agree with you more, bro.
That is an imperative, man. Either we do it or, you know, she mentioned, somebody mentioned, what's his name, Bill Gates and his efforts. You know, in fact, Bill Gates said at some kind of gathering, this is what he said. Now, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong on this, okay? Vaccines are supposed to help people. Vaccines are supposed to get rid of whatever organisms or whatever viruses or whatever bacteria that may be out there, you know, so you could live a better life. Am I correct?
I would agree so.
Okay. Well, here's what Bill Gates said. He said, we have created vaccines for population control. He said it. He said it. I don't remember what the gathering was. I don't remember the year, but they have a film of it. And he said it. And that is their agenda. And it's not a secret. It is foolish upon us because of we see these Europeans and the money that they have accumulated, some through various surreptitious means and bogus means, but regardless, we see them, and of course we hail them, we respect them, we listen to them. But those of us who are talking about self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, you know, we don't get that.
No, Bill Gates ain't going for that type of sugar on the iced tea.
No.
He don't want to hear that. You hear black folks talking that, man, you're going to sick the Obamas of the world on you.
Yeah.
No, man, that's a little too much for him, B.
Well, that's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He feel as though he's supposed to control the direction of Africa and African people. He's supposed to put forward the blueprint. He's the one that know what's good for us. No, don't get it twisted with that devil.
Yeah.
Has a plan and agenda for African people that we don't even have.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate thing is, how is it that this white man could come to Africa and push a vision that indigenous people can't even push?
Because,
nah, man, it's twisted.
Because our leadership on the continent, like our leadership here, is European trained.
Yep.
And because of that training, that indoctrination is so deep that we feel that you know, what is best for Africa, what is best for Europe is best for Africa. That's the mindset. What is best for Europe is best for Africa. And so we listen to these Europeans. We hail them, you know, and we have been doing it now for centuries. And it must come the time. The time must come. And I hope that it's going to happen within the next couple of years. Because to me, I ain't lying, Jay. If what we're doing with this Pan-African Federation movement, if by 2021 we don't have a direct vision and movement for our people, I'm gonna discontinue this radio program and I'm gonna move to an African country in isolation. I don't give a damn. I'm out of here.
You need to start packing your bags then, because that's just reality. Start packing your bags now. You know, I mean, you don't have to wait till then. Because see, the point of the matter is that unfortunately, people like me and you can't even come together and solidify our position and didn't take it to the next level because of all that surrounds us and all that is amongst us. At some point in time, we have to come together and close ranks and go into hiding for a period of time to solidify our ideas and things, and then come out with a blast and be in the place ourselves in a position to where as they either come or they don't, but we move forward.
Right.
Until we can get to that point, honestly, we're going to constantly be in this whirlwind, because it's like we're fighting all types of enemies on all types of fronts without us really putting forward a clear path to where we should be going, and the hell with the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty,
yeah. No.
We're really at the point now where we have to say F them.
Yeah,
and
no.
Just forget about them.
Jay, and I agree, because that's the move I'm in. And I'm saying by 2021, after this Pan-African conference on the continent happens, and we stake this claim that we are going to return to Africa, we are going to come and help Africa manage its land, manage its resources. Chinese, get your ass out. Europeans, get your ass out. Arabs, get your ass out. Indians, get your ass out. Koreans, whoever, damn else. We're going to manage the resources of African people.
I wouldn't do that. What I would do is, if I had the opportunity to put forward a forging of a place for us as African people, I would pick one place on the continent whereas we could go and basically set up shop and do what we have to do and set down the template for what we would like to see on the rest of the continent.
Well, let me just say, Jay, I understand what you're saying. You know, what I'm saying is that's going to happen at various spots on the continent at the same time, simultaneously. Because it's just like here. Many people wanted us to, and they're still, you know, the Republic of New Africa, some even members of NCOBRA, so forth, want us to establish something here that is ours. I was,
no,
you know.
That's, you can't never establish nothing here that's yours, bro. Stop thinking that way. That's BS. That's your romanticism with trying to make America great again. That's you wanting to be a part of your enslaver's home. What the hell am I going to build up something that raped my ancestors?
Well, see,
that robbed my ancestors of their humanity?
Yeah.
Why would I ever want to build something up in this place
and see,
when I know that these bastards are taking away from me at the drop of the hat, and they'll never allow me to protect it? If I'm going to make that type of, move, I want to do it where I come from, where my people came from.
There you go.
Where my ancestors came from.
There you go.
And then be willing to die on
exactly.
that soil.
Exactly.
Instead of die on this.
Exactly.
Tragedy.
Because of the fact of the matter is, we can never be independent, self-determining, liberated, or sovereign here in this country. Nowhere.
Never happen.
It will never happen.
Never happen.
Even when coming out of our captivity, when you knew there was deep segregation, when you had to come together to do things on your own, and we did, and we established some good, solid communities. The evilness, the jealousy, the pettiness, the selfishness, the greediness of Europeans said, no, we're going to vamp on them. Under the disguise of touching a white woman or some BS like that, we're going to vamp on that community, take their resources, burn their buildings down, and either kill them or incarcerate them or exile them. You look at
so that's the case, and that's the history of this country that's been proven time and time again. What would make you think that you should want to do anything here? I mean, it's that silly type thinking that we constantly go through. It's that silly type thinking that we constantly involved in. Instead of looking broader, instead of looking someplace else instead of placing ourselves in a position to where as we're going to be the head Negro, as they say, in charge, we always want to be in a situation to allow our oppressor to come and put an end to it. When he says enough is enough, okay, Negroes, y'all done proved your point. Let's straighten it up. Let's fly right. Get back on the plantation. That's what'll happen here. They'll burn it down. They'll shut it down. I mean, just always remember, never forget what they did to the brothers in Philadelphia at Move.
Sure.
Never forget that, brother.
Never forget not only Move, but never forget Rosewood. Never forget Tulsa. Never forget Elaine, Arkansas. Never forget Allentown. I could go on and on. Even contemporary. Never forget cities that succumb to the so-called modernization or model cities when they ran expressways into solid American African communities and destroyed them, like the Haiti community in Raleigh-Durham. No, never forget. The bottom line is these people do not want in America to have solid, independent American African communities.
These people don't have no real use for your black ass.
No, they don't. There's no more. There's no more cotton to pick.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get it together, man. You know, we under this delusion that we are part of this. Man.
Right.
You know what I mean? We ain't a part of this. We just a filler in the cake, baby, that they go eat. You know what I'm saying? They don't have no use for other than what we produce for them.
But see,
they don't care nothing about your children. They don't. You know, I was just looking at an article that blew me away. They talking about the university. University of Illinois at Chicago is now talking about making $100,000 a year to get a degree from them bastards. Now, you would think, when you look at Ivy Leagues and all of that, people don't think about Illinois or Chicago, University of Illinois.
Oh, well, hey, no, Joe, no, Jay. The University of Chicago was a leading educational institution in this country for a long time. Even though you have those so-called, quote, prestigious universities, Ivy League, and then, of course, on the West Coast, you might have a Cal and Stanford. But the University of Chicago was a leading research institution for a long time, way back in the day, and present. So, I mean, you know, but that's for them. I don't give a damn about the University of Chicago or the Ivy League, you know, or the Ivy, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, whatever the hell. I don't care.
All of them produces enemies of African people.
Well, see, the thing is, what I'm saying here, though, Jay, is that whatever, brothers and sisters, if you have an understanding and a consciousness and a feeling for your people, when you go to these halls of academician, these universities, these colleges and whatever, and whatever you attain, everything at this moment should be about what can I acquire, the knowledge can I acquire to help build Africa, to help rebuild Africa. I am re-Africanizing my mind. I'm re-Africanizing my soul. I'm understanding that the only salvation, the only choice that we have as African people is Pan-Africanism, has Dr. John Henry Clark said, a dynamic Pan-Africanism that is both cultural, spiritual, and technological. And that's what we must engage in if we're going to be.
Well, we better wake up and start smelling the coffee and then seeing that way.
No doubt.
If we don't, we're going to be in trouble.
No, you're right. It doesn't look good. I admit it.
If you start asking, if you're going to tell your children and you're going to talk to your children about the future, how could I say I have a strong position here in America? I have no strong position here in America. I don't even care if I'm educated because things and circumstances are changing rapidly. And God forbid if this clown get back in office for another 4 years, it ain't no telling the direction that the country is going to go in. Because the bottom line is you're going to lose all of your basic civil rights in this country. Because
you know,
them having control of the courts There's not going to be no renewal of the Civil Rights Acts and all of this.
I think
he's not in no the position
I think,
to cause no damn harm.
I think he has. I think he has appointed more than enough of those judges to turn this country away. His damage is going to be done. He's got another year. I believe he will not be reelected. It's just too vicious. It's just his history and what he has done is just, I mean, it would be asinine if that happened. It would be the.
But you got to remember, this is America and white supremacy rules this country. Whiteness is key to it all, baby.
Well, no, I understand that because look at the Republican Party in this impeachment inquiry. Every one of them sons of bitches agreed that they're not going to support in the House the impeachment inquiry. Every one of them.
Well, hey, if they don't support it, they don't support it. So be it. They don't support it.
No.
You move forward.
No, Jay, I understand. I agree with that. The point I'm making is that when they talk about, oh, that is going to be divided. No, this country. But let me say this. Let me say this and let me be very clear. This country is not divided by Europeans on the issue of what to do about people outside themselves and how to maintain and sustain this country and its privileges that they have set. Let's be clear about that. They are dealing with some ideological BS. Yes, that BS will adversely affect us, but everything they do adversely affects us. So I don't give a damn about Bernie Sanders, about the squad, and none of that. Everything about this country is always going to be for the benefit of this country. Yes, you can come up with a law or two or something like that, but the bottom line is the Europeans who control this country will benefit from whatever they do here. And it
they're supposed to. They're yes. supposed to.
Yes, it's theirs.
Then they can see this, that they don't supposed to. Let me say this, man. If I keep my foot in your ass and you don't take my foot out your ass, then you have nothing to say. You deal with what you deal with. Until you are willing to take my foot out your ass, keep your mouth shut, and go along. And that's the position that we don't seem to understand. We want to keep a foot in our behind and not take the foot off our behind and then expect to be respected and treated in a certain way. That don't make sense. But that's how we live our lives in this country as black people. We don't want this man's foot out our behind. We enjoy it. We live for it. Anytime you start talking about taking the foot out of our behind, the Negroes say, why? Why? That's the frank matter of what's going on with us as a people. We don't want to die.
We're
never going to be liberated as a people unless you're willing to die.
Let me say this. A lot of times, we don't understand the effects that the European has had on our minds. Stephen Biko said it best. And I in my program, as you know, with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, whatever, is the minds of the oppressed. It's their minds. And because we cannot release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. And if we understand that tool, once that vice grip is set, you can't pull it apart. The only way you can release that vice grip, there's a knob at the end of the handle. The knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, of beginning to believe in ourselves and trusting in one another, respecting one another. And the more that we come to that knowledge, that knob continues to turn until finally the tension on the vice grip is released and we see the European, the Caucasian, for who and what he is. We don't challenge him. To hell with him. We take a step back and we come together to formulate what is going to be best for African people regardless who has what to say. and we begin to move in that direction. If we don't do this, we will perish. It's Pan-Africanism or we will perish. And you see somebody, I think you talked about ADOS and other, you know, at this time, the issue and discussion of reparations should be put seriously on hold. All due respect to NCOBRA or any other organization. That's put on hold because once African people, I heard some foolishness that's saying, well, shouldn't we go after Africa for reparations? It's because Africans sold us into our captivity. There is a belief that Africans, you know, as crazy as it is, because no, were there some who were assisting the European? Yes, there were some who assisted Europeans in capturing us, marching us to the coast, wherever we were, along the West Coast, from Senegal all the way down to Namibia, wherever. Yes, there were. But it was Europeans. The Europeans who built forts. The Europeans who did this. The Europeans who, yes, they even went into the Inderland and captured and brought us out. And so I don't put blame on Africans. Yes, you know, Africans should be more understanding. Africans should wake up. But Africans, because of the colonization and the fact that its leadership are trained by Europeans and the theology, this Christianity bull, where you have preachers making so much damn money in countries that are seriously poor. I seen a piece, Jay, the other day on Liberia that was created by the United States. And they had these two Caucasians, one wearing a dashiki, talking about his visit to Liberia and how Liberia just mimics America and so forth. And then towards the end of the little 5 or 6 minutes piece, he says that Africa, that Liberia is one of the poorest countries on the continent. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, that's apropos. A country that has influence, that Europe, a American, a United States entity on Africa, influenced by United States. Yes, that would be true because that's how we are here. That's how we are here. And that's what Europeans do to Africans. They relegate them to the lowest status. They put them in a position of beggars. When in essence, in actuality, Africans have the resources. Africans have the diamonds. Africans have the gold, the titanium, bauxite, cobalt, you name it, petroleum. Africans do. Africans do.
And it's all controlled by the white man.
Exactly.
And that's the insanity. Just like you said, I don't think the continent of Africa should be our reparations guarantee. I don't think that we are in no position at all to make that type of demand.
Wait a minute.
It was just
Jay, hold on. What I'm saying is once Africans come into the realization of who we are in control now, they didn't give Japan reparations. They didn't get reparations from World War II and internment and so forth. They of course, United States gave Japan, because they dropped those two bombs on them, a lot of assistance. And then the Japanese Americans who were interned during World War II, simply because they were Japanese, they didn't do that to Germans. Hell, Germans been here a long damn time. They didn't do that to them. But hold on, Jay. But so in 1980, through force, the Japanese government and the Japanese Americans got reparations because of what happened to them through Ronald Reagan. Through Ronald Reagan. You know, and so what I'm saying, they became strong. When you become strong, that's when you go after.
Then you can make demands.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, let me say this right quick. Do you ever wonder, now think about this, brother. Think about this. Why is it that we as Africans are always the only ones getting shot and killed by police? They don't do that to other ethnic groups, do they? No. You know why? Because other ethnic groups have a central base to where as their governments will put pressure on America and are in a position to do things to America. Chinese and the Japanese are proof of that. See, never get it twisted that America is this great big power and that they can't be tapped on their behind. Because they can be tapped on their behind. That's why if you notice, they don't really mess with other nationalities too tough like China, Russia, Germany, Brazil. Certain countries they mess with like Turkey and things of that nature because they know they could get away with it. But there's countries that they can't do that to. And it's just shown constantly. If we as African people get our act together and get home in a strength position, you know what type of demands we can make on these clowns? Do you know if we acted like Mao did back in the day and shut down Africa the way the Chinese shut down China, do you understand what type of power we would have in the world if we did what the Chinese people did? Oh, man, the world would shut down. The world would shut down because everything, like you said, material that they need to continue their globalization of the world, they won't have access to.
Yeah.
If we could just only be in the position to shut it down, oh. But unfortunately, our leadership don't have that type of vision. Our leadership don't have that type of direction. There's nobody on the continent right now that's even talking like that. Unfortunately, if there was someone talking like that, they'd kill his black ass. And we ain't in no position to protect them.
Yeah.
And that's the tragedy. Because if we just shut down Africa for 50 years and let nobody come in, nobody do nothing, we get our internal things in order and kill a couple of million traitors that we have.
Yeah.
And start from a Pan-African principle, we'll rock the world. The world will never be like it is. Because always remember, most things in America is predicated on someone else's resources. America doesn't produce nothing. America is in the position now, and you watch. In the next couple of years, the economy will crash.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, Oshi, you got to close up.
All right, my brother, sure do.
African, it's great talking to you, and I look forward to Monday.
Have a good weekend, Jay. Have a good weekend. I'll get you that
information. Please.
Yes, I will. I will definitely do that for you, my brother. Okay,
and we'll talk on Monday.
All right.
Up in peace and love, my brother.
Peace. I appreciate you, Jay. I appreciate all those who call in and those who don't call in but listen, and. You know, what we talk about on this program, what needs to be discussed even on a daily basis, is what should be taught in schools from an elementary, middle to high school level, and truly taught in our universities or colleges for our preparation. I want us to be players in the world. I want us, because we have all these resources, that when somebody wants something, they come to us and we negotiate and we give them fair market value. They give us fair market value for our resources. I want us to be leaders in the world in terms of how a society is maintained in a human way, in a respectful way. There's respect for elders. There's promotion of families. There's protection of children. There's honor and reverence for ancestors. There's a spirituality that respects humanity. That we don't go nowhere and take anybody's stuff. But damn it, we don't want nobody coming in and taking ours. We have to develop in various ways. That's what I'm saying. Kick everybody out after 2021, unless by 2031, Africa will be open for business. Africa would have its house in order. Africa would have great cities, nation states. Africa would be developing roadways, highways, ports, energy systems. Africa could do for itself. Africa could be the light of the world in terms of how society and civilization should be run. When I read that piece on the Inyesesima on civilization, contained in the words civilization is the word civil. Civil. That means you behave and act in a manner that is respectful, civil. And that's why, to me, Europeans have never brought civilization any damn where, because they're not civil. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, let us continue on this road for self-determination, for liberation and sovereignty for our people. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Peace, family.